Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we gather for the third yard site of my grandfather, my Saba. And although there's a lot of different ideas I can talk about him, I've decided to share one aspect that I found in my grandfather that I think we can talk about with everyone. He used to tell a story of a man that came to my great-great-grandfather, Mrs. Chin's grandfather, Rav Ben-Zion Shapiro. The man says, I was studying the Zohar, and in the Zohar, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is teaching his son, and he teaches him that the whole world exists as a microcosm within each and every person. So Rabbi Elazar, Rav Shimon's son, says, we know that there's a verse that says, "B'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzeis me'arachorev v'omer olubanin me'albonu shel Torah." That day in and day out, a voice comes forth from Mount Sinai and says, "Woe is to my children that have forsaken or neglected the Torah." So if the whole world exists as a microcosm within each of us, where in us is that voice coming forth from Sinai? So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai answers his son and he says, if you put your finger in your ear and you hear that rushing sound, that sound that you hear is the voice coming forth from Sinai. Says the man to Rav Ben-Zion Shapiro, we all know that when you stick your finger in your ear and you hear that rushing sound, that's simply the blood rushing through your head, through your veins. It's no voice coming from Sinai. So Rav Ben-Zion says, I'll answer you with a parable. Story of a man that has two sons, and it's time for them to go off to school, to college. In those days, one boy went off to shoemaking school, and one boy went off to yeshiva. And one day the father decides that he's going to go visit his children, and he goes to the shoemaking school, and he's walking up the path, and the teacher wasn't paying attention to the boys in the classroom, and they're playing around, but the father sees that a parent of the pupil is coming up, and he gives a bang on the table, and the boys pick up their hammers and their nails and their leather, and they start forming and making leather and making shoes. And the father gets his report and goes off to visit his son in yeshiva. As he's walking up the path, boys being boys, they're playing around, and the Rebbe sees that a parent is coming up, and he gives a bang on the table, and the boys grab their gemaras, and they start learning. And the father gets his report and goes home. So Rav Ben-Zion says, I don't understand. In both places, there was a bang on the table. But in one place, the bang caused the boys to pick up a hammer. And in another place, it caused them to pick up a gemara. What's the difference? The answer is, he says, is that it all depends on what kind of vessel we are. If we're a vessel that's open to receiving spirituality and receiving the word of God and listening to the voices of nature and the voices, the ideas that are coming forth, and we're looking for spirituality, then the bang on the table is going to cause us to pick up our Gemara. That sound in your head is the sound of the voice from Sinai. But if we're simply looking for the mundane and we hear the bang on the table, maybe it'll only cause us to do mundane things. And indeed, the sound in your head is only the blood rushing through your head. My grandfather, Saba, was always a person in tune with the ever-changing world around him. He soaked up the wisdom of the previous generations, and he made it current for our generation, for all of our generations. As Pesach approaches, and I think back to when I was a young boy at his Seder table and the incredible times that we had, the story of Exodus came to life when my grandfather told it. He was able to have an intellectual conversation with the adults and keep all the kids involved at the same time. His face would light up when he heard a Dvar Torah, when we said the Manishtana. He was a vessel that kept filling and giving, but he never emptied. Saba would make everyone he met feel special. He always had a kind word. He always made you feel important. And he always had a story, something to lift somebody's spirits. And that's something that I wanted to share tonight. There are so many different things as a grandson and for a congregation, but that was a special man to me. And there are a few people in this world that have that gift, and I would like to introduce one of them, Rabbi Boaz Miller.
Before I start, I just want to say a word that in the title that they put on what I'm speaking tonight, it said, I had a dream. And I just want to inform you that I still have dreams, and also in the future I will have more. The title was supposed to be, I have a dream. Most of you here in the room got to know Rabbi Chin much more than I had the privilege to know him. But I think that there are a few points from Rabbi Chin's life and things that he said and the way he lived that could enlighten our path for our lives. Purim was just behind us Sunday. A week ago, we all still read the Megillah, and we find there that one of the major actors is Mordechai. When the Pasuk tells us about Mordechai, it uses the words Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man. What is the meaning of the words Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man? I heard from my father that the concept is that Mordechai saw himself as part of the Jewish nation. He had that feeling of partnership with the people. Mordechai did not see himself as somebody that just lives his own life and is not part of the community. But he was with them. And he felt them. And he made sure that they'll also feel that he's part of them. And that's why in his time, he was the only one that was able to unite them. Haman claimed that the Jewish nation is Am Mefuzar Mefurad. We're not together. Everybody lives on his own. Mordechai was able to unite them. That was Rabbi Chin, living with the congregation, seeing himself as part of them, and that's why he was able to unite the people in Shenandoah, McKeesport, White Oak, wherever he was. He had that impact on the people that he was in touch with. And that's a very unique power for a leader. About 20 years ago, Rabbi Chin had over at his house one of his grandchildren for Shabbos. And as they were walking on Shabbos morning to Shul from Ohio Avenue, every person that had passed by stopped and said, "Good morning, Rabbi Chin. How are you?" And at one point, the grandchild had asked Rabbi Chin, "Saba, are you so famous?" And he answered, "No. But every person that I see, I make sure to say hello, to ask him how he is and what's doing. That's a present that doesn't cost any money, but everybody likes it." And we too felt the same when he used to question us, "How are we?" dreams. Dreams don't become true by themselves. You need to put a lot of effort into it in order to live it. Rabbi Chinyus is telling over a story from his Rebbe, Rabbi Shlago Feivel Mendelovich, from about 1940, that when Rabbi Mendelovich wanted to open another branch to Torah Vadas in Muncie, he went over to the board members of his yeshiva and he told them about his idea of opening another Beis Medrash, expanding the yeshiva. And they all looked at him and told him, "Rabbi, you are dreaming." In those days, Torah was not so popular as today. And he answered them, "You are right. I am dreaming, but I'm not asleep. And if you are not asleep, it could really happen." Dreams happen when we are asleep. But in order to interpret them, we have to be alert. We have to be awake and see and feel, what could I relate to the dream? The pasuk says, "Ani yesheno velibi er." I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. We say twice a day, morning and evening, in the second parsha of Shema, "V'hoya im shamoa tishmil." It shall be when you hear, you shall hear. And everybody understands that for no reason. It sounds like the Torah is just repeating itself. It should be when you hear, you shall hear. That's all what I know. I'm listening. I know what I'm doing. But Rabbi Chin had his idea that the Torah here makes a point that make sure when you hear, you listen to what you are hearing. How many times we tell our spouse, children, our friends, "Yes, I'm listening, go on. Yeah, yeah. I'm with you." But we're not there. We're not listening. It goes by us. Doesn't do any impact on us. There was a husband that complained that his wife was not hearing well. One day, he decided to come home to surprise her, came home early from work. He opens the door and he tells her, "Hello, darling, I came home." No response. He walks further in the room. "Honey, I'm here." No response. He comes over to her and he tells her, "Hello, I'm here, I came home from work." And he hears her answer, "For the third time, I said hello." Who is the one that's deaf here? Who is the one that's not hearing? When you hear, hear what's happening. V'hoya im shamoa tishmu. Realize that when things happen around you, it's not just a coincidence. It's not just something that doesn't mean anything to you, but try to see what could you understand from what you hear. Dr. Tversky tells a story about a boy, young man, that was dating a girl. And when it started to become serious, as the dates were going on, so before one of the dates, he went over to his father and he asked him if he could have the keys to the car. He wanted to impress the girl, take her back home after the date. The father reached into his pocket, took out a $5 bill and told him, "Here, this is for your transportation." The boy was brokenhearted. He did not need money for transportation. He was trying to ask for his father for a status. "I'm a man. I'm continuing on in life. I did not mean that I need to get from this point to that point? The father didn't listen. The father just saw a son coming and telling him, I need a ride. I need this to get from one place to the other. But that's not what the son meant. Dreams are one of the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a taste of eternity. A dream happens within seconds and it's over. But when we are in the dream, we break limits of time, place, ability. Time, we could go back in the dream in years, generations, decades. We could go forward in time. In place, we could be here, we could be in Japan or wherever you want to be in seconds. No limits. And ability. We dream about things that a lot of times seem to be impossible in the world that we are in. A dream gives us the awareness and the understanding of what the world is all about. Where am I? What's my goals? What do I want? Who am I? And what's ahead of me? Rabbi Chen, with that idea, explained very interestingly the whole discussion that we find in Bereishis about Yosef and Paro's dream. As we all know, Paro had his dream about these 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. The skinny cows swallowed the fat cows, stayed skinny. The dream repeated itself. Paro gets up the next morning, all bothered by that dream, calls in all his advisors and tells them about the dream. They offer all kinds of ideas, as the Medrash brings down, but Paro is not satisfied with the way that they interpreted the dream. Yosef comes about through somebody telling Paro about him, and when Yosef gives his explanation to the dream, Paro feels and says, that's it. This is really what I dreamt of. This is really what I mean. What did Yosef see, or how did he understand to interpret Paro's dream in the way that he chose? What key did he find in the words of Paro that he knew that this is what Paro means? If we'll look carefully in the Torah, when Paro repeats a dream to Yosef, and also when the Torah is telling us that Paro is dreaming, the words in the Torah are Uparo cholem, not cholam, not in past, but paro cholem, this is now in present. This is an ongoing dream, constant. This is a haunting dream that Paro has. Yosef senses that there is something now that's happening that Paro wants. Usually, a person dreams of some things that he was not able to get. It was out of his grasp. It was denied to him. What possibly could be denied to a king? A king has everything. Everything is his. Whatever he wants, he could demand. I think the only thing he didn't have was maybe Facebook in his time. What else could a king want and be out of his hand reach? Yosef saw that there was one thing that Paro could not have, and Paro wanted it very badly. That was to be the gods of Egypt. Paro wanted people to worship him, but he couldn't, because the people worshiped the Nile, the river. Their life depended on the river. Yosef told him, I'll give it to you. I'll make you the gods of Egypt. You'll see. Everybody will worship you. You have a dream that's denied to you. Nobody could give it to you. But if you'll be smart, and on the 7 years of good, you'll put aside the food, it will come to a time when people will have to survive and need you in order to live. And then their lives will be totally in your hands. You'll be the gods of Egypt. And Paro tells him, you are the man that I want. Because Yosef, as the Torah says, Paro told him, Tishma chalom liftoroso. You comprehend the dream to interpret it. You don't just hear a dream, you listen. You understand that I want a status. Me as a king, I want something that was denied to me. That's what I need, and that you were able to give me. Chazal tell us, Ein lecha esev milamata. There is not one blade of grass here on earth. She'ein lo malach, that there is not an angel up in heaven that's commanding and giving him the power. Ve'omer lo gedal, grow. Each blade of grass needs that power of an angel in order for him to grow. One of our rabbis said that if this is what one blade of grass needs, oh, what a person, what a human being needs in order to grow. I'll tell you what he needs. He needs somebody to listen to him, to listen to his dreams, to pat him on his shoulder and tell him, yes, you could get and achieve your aspirations, your goals. You want to know how? Awareness. The more you'll be aware, the people around you, to what you are, what's your abilities, and what could you give others, that's a way to give it. Rabbi Chin, coming to McKeesport, saw that potential in the children at that time in McKeesport. And he made a revolution in the concept of davening. As many of you know, that's a special bench that's up in the lobby upstairs, next to the hall, was a bench that was in front of the rabbi down in the shul in McKeesport. That was for the children of the people that were privileged to daven next to the rabbi. Rabbi Chen could have said, I can't do anything with them. This is what they are. They can't change. But no. Rabbi Chen believed that everyone should have a goal where he wants to get to in life and should never be stuck wherever he is. Rabbi Chin was not an angel. Angels and the concept of our prophets are what we call omed. They stand on one place. Rabbi Chin, however, did not stumble, step on one place. He was a mehalech. He was an ongoing person. He was always busy taking a step forward. And that's what he always asked his people, to look forward in life. Rabbi Chin had the value to life, and he always insisted that a person should know where does he want to get to. That was almost every Shabbos a question that he used to ask the boys from the yeshiva that we used to have over. What do you want to do in your life? He wanted them to be motivated, because he believed that a person, in order to have ambitions, he has to have something in front of his eyes that he wants to do. Rabbi Chin was a true leader. Never he said his opinion if he wasn't asked to. And even when he was asked, if it wasn't an halachic issue, but a personal question that a person wanted to know what to do or where to turn in his life, He did not give an answer. He never wanted somebody to feel that he has to do or choose a certain way because Rabbi Chin said. He sat with you and analyzed with you the issue until you felt that you know what's good for you in your way. I think the message from all this tonight to take to our lives is to dream, but not to sleep. To be aware of what do we really want from ourselves, who are we, what else could we do in order to make the day tomorrow be better than today. To have high aspirations, but not too high to the point where we cannot cope with. We should have goals that will move us a step forward, and that we should all look around to our friends, our children, our dear community, to see who could we pat on his shoulder and tell him, yes, you can do it. To give a status to what people think and what they want. And that's a great power. I want to end with a story that happened on the Shiva in the house of Rabbi Chin. One of the days, there were people that came and came from different times in Rabbi Chin's lifetime. And everybody came with his story. And it was very interesting to hear people. Dr. Tversky was there too. And as it went by, people just started to be much more happy and excited in that event than feeling at the Shiva call. My mother-in-law, his daughter, asked, is that like appropriate, the way that everybody is feeling around here? And Dr. Tversky turned to her and told her, I'll answer you with a parable. When a ship is built, and it goes out for its first time in the water, maiden voyage, there's a certain fear that the captain has. What will be? Will it ever get to its destination? Will it be able to go through the terrible storms and waves? But when it's on its way back and it got to its final destination, everybody's happy. Because it finished its task fully and properly. Same too, said Dr. Tversky, was the life of Rabbi Chin. He finished them fully and properly. Happy are we that we were privileged of having such a leader as Rabbi Chin, that we could learn from his deeds, we could learn from his words, and we could try to take it to our lives and see how we could interpret it and be aware of what we have, and with that, make our life better than yesterday. Thank you. I just want, if you all could please rise, and I'll say Ekel Moli. אין מולי רחמים שכן במרוימים המצאי מנוחו נכוינו על כנפי השכינו במעלו יסקדושים ותארים כזור רק ים הזירים אס נשמע סור ויצרוק אייזיק בן רבא ברום זמן שולח לו לומוי ועבור שמי נדר משפחתו נדר צדוקו בעד הזכור אס נשמו סוי בגן עדן תאי מנוחו סוי לכן בעל הרחמים יסתירו בסזר כנפיו לאילומים ויצרור בצור החיים יש נשמסוי, אדוני הוא נחלוסוי, וינוח בשלום המשכבוי, ונאמר אמן.